Sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you don't really see all the how the wheels are working all that well. And so we do need your feedback. Not right now, but we do. Email us or phone us or talk to us after the service like that. Just drop your little ideas, and that would be very helpful. And to those who are visiting with us, great to have you guys with us. I'm glad you guys had a great time at the Imaginarium. Wish I could have been here, couldn't. So, but I heard it was fantastic. That's what Chris described. It wasn't just good. It wasn't just great. It was like fantastic. So good on him. Good on you guys. Let me just get a stand here. Take something. Here we go. Okay. So I think it was about a week ago or a few or maybe 10 days ago. I forget exactly when. One of my daily things I do is I check the news. I'm not a news junkie, but I just like keeping up to date what's going on in the world. And I came across a headline about a senator that was not going to be in the U.S. Of course, the U.S. right now is making all the news. But a senator that was... had read a speech in the Senate and was going to fulfill his term, and then was not going to be seeking re-election in 2019. For whatever reason, I thought I'll read it. Opened up the article, and it was Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona. Never heard of him. I thought and it had the full speech. Thought I'd read it. And when I read it, seriously, hope rose up in me. Hope rose up in me because there was something I was reading in his words, what he said before all the Senate and the president. I saw strong values. I saw someone who was living by principles. And I saw someone, because of those principles, made the decision that they were no longer able to seek re-election in 2019 because they wouldn't be part of what they perceived as what was going on with the government. Because I have always wondered, you hear about in history, right? You hear about in history about these great leaders who had great speeches or great whatever, right? And they go down in history. And I ask myself, where are they today? Where are those great leaders today? And I read that, and I go, there, there's one right there. And so I was just, it warmed my heart. As a result, I do what I don't normally do. I put it on Facebook, right? Because I had to share it. I wanted to share it with other people. But it was just something that gave me hope. If you haven't read the speech, just Google or whatever you query on the internet there, Jeff Flake's full speech. And it's a brilliant speech of some of the, what I felt were godly principles that he was laying out for himself, that he followed in his life. On the flip side of that, what else has been in the news is the whole debacle with Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, and everything else that's been going on, right? Taking over the news. The thing has just, and actions and decisions those folks had made led to certain results, it surfaced, and just, you look at what's happened with Spacey, right? Netflix has distanced themselves, right? No more. And what I realized as I took a step back and looked at everything is this. Character is everything. Character is absolutely everything. Because I've been thinking as well, what marks a mature follower of Christ? What marks that? What's the mark of that? And I think part of it is character. Character. And I want to look at throughout Scripture for the next 3-4 weeks at the importance character plays in the lives of people in Scripture. And I want to start this morning with Mary, the mother of Jesus. How much do you know about her? How much do you know? How much do you know about Mary, the mother of Jesus? How much do you know? How much? So, depending on what scholarly books you read about some of the history of Mary, most scholars agree that when she was pregnant with Jesus, she was a young teen. Definitely a teenager. Some put her as young as 12. In fact, there's a 4th century historian who they say was fairly accurate. I don't know how accurate, but he said Mary would have been 12, Joseph would have been 90. And he was an older man. I was like, wow, okay, maybe. I don't know. But there's something about Mary. Sounds like a movie title, eh? Something about Mary. But there's something about Mary that is admirable. I'd almost put her up, like the very little you can glean from Scripture. I think she is truly an inspiration to people of how one should lead their life. Not a lot there about her, but what there is there is pretty profound. I wanted to, there's three snapshots I want us to look at. There's a couple from Luke and one from the Gospel of John. So let's hit the first one. First one was Gabriel's visit. You know who Gabriel was? Who's Gabriel? Angel. Do you understand when we read that story? Every Christmas that gets read, and that story has become so, what's the word? It's we read it and we miss all of the impact of that. Do you understand what Mary was thrown into? Do you understand? Can you imagine? How many here, I don't want to ask, because I'll get an answer. But the fact she had an angel that had visited her. And here's how the story goes. Let me read this very quickly. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Hey." He said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord's with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you have found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month, for the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And at that point, Mary's life was thrown into a tailspin. Because who could she possibly relay that story to? Who could she possibly relay that story to? And the fact that she was pregnant and not yet married. So you know what was going to happen. You know how her reputation would have been smeared. You know how things just would have gone sideways for her. You know the challenges she would have faced. It would have been an impossible, it would have been something like, what do you do with that encounter? And how was it she was able to continue on? How was it she was able to, you know, sing a song, and we'll get to on the next snapshot. But how was she able to be the woman she was with such flip around in her life, with such a turnaround? How? Well, you want to see somebody's character? See how they respond to situations. That's how you test. That's how you see someone's character. See how you respond to situations. When you come to that crossroad, that intersection in your life where you have to make a decision, watch how they react. Watch how they respond. You'll see what character is there. What kind of character? And here you see Mary's character. You see it plainly. And here she says the key response is in her, I don't know if I got it on the next slide, is here at the end where she says these words, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. That says so much about her. It says how she sees her relationship with God. It says how that she has relinquished control of her life. And that's a hard thing to do. We say that, I say that so easily, right? Just relinquish control. Have you ever tried doing that? For me, you know what relinquish control is? I relinquish a little bit. I'll give you part. I'm going to hold on to some in case. I just, because I want stability. I don't want you to mess with my life, right? You can have some of it, not all of it. Mary was one who had entrusted herself. How did she get there? I'm not sure. But she entrusted herself to the Lord, where she was able to say to Gabriel, I'm his servant. And as servants don't question their masters, do they? They just do it. She was so certain of a trust, a deep trust in God, that she could say, may it be so. May everything you have said come true. May it happen. I am his. That's huge. That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes of her attitude, of her posture towards the Lord. Next snapshot I want to take you through is the scripture names is the Magnificat. Magnificat. How many of you are familiar with the Magnificat? Let me read it to you. It's like a psalm. It's not long. This is what Mary said, saying to the Lord, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. What's the gold there? Let me show you the gold. This is in Luke 1, by the way. Well, the reference is up there. Luke 1. Let me show you the gold here. First, this is key. Right at the get-go. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My question to you, do you have that type of a relationship with the Lord where he's your God? Do you? Because you hear the phrase, I believe in God. It's easy to say, but here's the real question. Is he your God? is he your God? And for Mary, that was her God. That's who she was rejoicing in. That's gold. Another piece of gold, just further on down. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. This whole thing that was taking place, who got the credit? God. You know what? People of integrity and character, you pay attention to them and who they point to. You see great leaders who have done great things, and their natural response is to point to the people around them that have made it happen, not themselves. Seriously. You look at the great leaders, and they always point to people around them, their family, their friends, or their colleagues. Because of them, this is how we have arrived here, or we've accomplished this, or we've done that. It's not them that has done it. They point to others. And it's what Mary says further on down, that God exalts the humble. Because in character that has integrity, character that is godly, character that is solid, it's humble. You find yourself a person who is a leader and is humble, stick close to them. Talk to them. Take them out for coffee or take them out for tea. Find out how they live their life. Find out what their principles are. Find out what's important to them. See how they live their life. Because that was Mary. That was Mary. Now here's my thing. I think Mary had a hero. You know who I think her hero was? I think her hero was this is speculation, okay? I think her hero was Hannah, Samuel's mother. Why do I think that? Because this Magnificat, very similar to Hannah's song that she sang. Remember Hannah? She couldn't get pregnant. Prayed to, begged the Lord, can I have a son? If I do, I will, give my son to you, right? And Hannah became pregnant with Samuel, gave birth, and then gave him to, after weaning him, gave him to the temple to serve the Lord there. And Hannah sang something very similar. And my question is, I wonder, Mary, were those words you clung to and held on to? Did they become your anchor? Was she your hero? Was she? Because I wonder. Here's my question for you. Who's your hero? Do you have one? Do you have one? Do you have a hero? Do you have somebody that you look up to? Do you have somebody who can speak into your life? Do you have somebody who can shape your character, who speaks, who molds your character? Because that's huge. That's huge. It's key. It's key. But it was this stuff that kept Mary. It shows a steadfastness of Mary in her heart. She's a steadfast character. And I just wonder if that's who her hero was. And finally, the other snapshot I want us to take us to is at the cross. John records this. And in John, in the 19th chapter, it has these words, only in these three little verses here. And this is when Jesus was on the cross. Remember who that is for Mary. That's her son. That's her son who's on the cross. Being executed. Okay? This is what John records. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. So picture, if you can, for Mary, her life unraveling, her son dying, her Savior dying. And while we could say, yeah, but she had that hope of the resurrection and what Jesus, understand the pain she would have been going through then. And yet her faith was firm. Her faith was solid. And you got to ask, Mary, how did you do that? How? How did that happen? And the picture you have there is trust. Trust is when everything is black, when you have no answer, when you don't know what else to do. What do you lean on? What do you trust? Or do you give up on everything? But Mary, there is something there that was so deeply rooted with her, so deep, deep down in her heart, that she was able to stay there and to stay with her son, to stay with her Savior as he breathed his last. And she was able to stand and stand strong. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. Because I want to mine that. What's in your heart, Mary? What is in your character that you are such a strong person? Such a strong person. And I think the reason she is able to do that is because there were things that were established in her life way before then, way before even Jesus was born, that with when she was growing up in her family with her parents, there were seeds that were planted in her heart, in her life, throughout her life, that when this storm hit, she was not broken, she was not, you know, shattered beyond repair, you know. There was something that held her. And what I think it is, I think we see the secret, and I think it's in the Christmas story again, in Luke 2:19, in the Christmas story. You know, Mary has given birth to Jesus, right? And the shepherds come, and the shepherds pay their visit, and they glorify God, and they leave. And there's a word, there's a sentence there in Luke 2:19. We say it all the time at Christmas time, right? But I think this is key. I think it is. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. See, here's what I think. We don't explore a lot about meditation and about pondering and about sitting with a passage or with even a word in scripture and just allowing it to marinate, allowing it to be like marinate our hearts right with that, and just to soak in it and let it simmer there. We don't practice that a lot. But there's something about taking a sentence or taking a word from scripture, that a word that impacts you, right? Something that is spoken to you, and sitting with it and letting it just simmer, just letting it do its thing and begin to shape your heart. And I think there were things, key things from Hannah's song, right? Key things that Mary would ponder, that Mary would keep close to her heart, that Mary would think about, that built her character. And what I think it is it's this thing. Whatever you feed, right, it will grow. Whatever you starve will become weaker. And I think she fed herself. I think she fed herself on some key things that established her as a strong woman. I believe she was very strong. I think she was a huge example for the disciples. I think they got huge encouragement from her as they watched. What's close to your heart? What do you keep close to your heart? What do you meditate on? Because that's the stuff that begins to shape your character. That's the stuff that begins to shape who you are, whatever's there. Or do you even spend time? We live in a hectic world, guys. You got to intentionally pull away to be able to meditate, to be able to ponder, to be able to think about things, to take time to think. This thing and the internet and stuff is great, but if you don't manage that, it will take over your life for you. It will. It does. Life is so busy and so hectic. And what ends up happening is this stuff begins to shape your life. How much time do you meditate on Facebook? Seriously. I sort of like it. I see you saying nope. But seriously, the time we spend on this stuff, does it? Wouldn't it be good to take a look, to step back and see just how much it has shaped our thinking? Shaped our thoughts? Oh my. I struggle with Twitter because maybe I'm just following the wrong people, but some of it just seems little bumper sticker phrases, right? You know? And it's like, have we reduced life to little bumper sticker phrases? Like, seriously? Is it that bad? But again, I could be wrong because I don't really use it well, so I admit that. But what do you meditate on? What simmers in your heart? What do you allow to shape your character? Because that's key, guys. That's key. And there comes a time in all of our lives where we come to an intersection where we have to make a decision. Right? We have to. See, we think we wait, God, change me. Help me to be the man you want me to be. Help me. And we continue on our way, walking down the path we're walking down, thinking, God, why aren't you changing me? Why don't you shift me? Why don't you make me like that person over there? And yet we never make any decisions to make that change, right? And we come to a crossroad in our life, and then we make a decision, which is based on our character, based on our values, because that's where decisions get made, eh? You have values, things you value in life, and you determine what your principles are, and you lead, and then those principles will determine what decisions you make. And if you don't shape that, something else will. Something will. It's not just neutral. Something will shape. Listen. Senator Jeff Flake, obviously there is values he has. There's values he has. And from those values, there are principles he has determined to live by. Those principles brought him to the point where he was at an intersection, a crossroads in his life. And it was either I go this way or I go this way. And based on those principles, he went that way. He has made that decision. And he made it public. Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey, they crossroad in their life where they could make a decision based upon their values and upon their principles. They made a decision. It's character. It's character. What's shaping you? What's shaping? Now, I can decide what my values and principles are, and I can even make a decision that this is today, I'm going to live this way. Because we read from Joshua. You know those famous words from Joshua 24? Joshua, remember in Joshua there, the Israelites have settled in Canaan, the promised land, they're there. But there's always this struggle with these other gods, right? And Joshua draws a line, basically. But he goes, look, he tells everybody, tells the tribal leaders. He says, you guys got to decide who you're going to serve. You're going to serve this God over here, or this God here, or this God here. He says, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. But you decide today who you're going to serve. And they go, well, they responded, no. We will serve the Lord, Joshua. We will serve the Lord. Well, he says, good. Then if that's what you're going to do, then do that. Then do that. But let me tell you something. Making a decision that you're going to walk a certain way isn't easy. It's simple, right? You can make the decision, simple. To walk it out, tough. Because there's everything in you that just wants to go back to the simplest way of doing things, right? What's that phrase? Yeah, path of least resistance. We naturally want to go that way, right? It's easier this way. Let's go this way. And we go. It's hard to say, you know what? No, this is the way. What Jeff Flake did was that was a difficult decision to make. But he made that decision. Why? Based on his principles, rooted in his values. And others. And listen, I'll touch on in other weeks. What always takes a person down? What always takes a person down is their character, right? What they've built as character. We don't see that part. Eventually it comes home to roost. Boom, and they come down. Always. But we'll talk about that more. How I can walk out my decision is I got to do it in relationship. How I can walk out resolve, do it, you know, resolve to do something is in relationship with other people. I need other people to help me. I need other people to encourage me. I need other people who believe in me, other people who will walk with me. I need that. You try to do it on your own, you can. Really hard. I need other people. Why do different support groups work? Why do support groups work? Because there are people who have they want to make a decision to go this way, but they need help from others. There's things they struggle with in life that we all struggle with. We need help from others to help us, to encourage us, to walk with us. We need. And it's done in relationship. How important is character? It's a center, man. It's key. It's key. Because when you live a life of godly character, when you live a life of solid integrity, where your yes is yes and your no is no, when you do that, you honor yourself. You honor yourself as a person. You give yourself respect. You do. But you honor other people. And most importantly, you honor God. Do. That's what God's calling us to. And it's the best life. It really is. So don't you want to aim for that? I know you do. You know why? Because when people of character speak up, stand up, there's something in us that rises up. I go, oh yeah, that's hope. Right? We like that. I'm going to stab myself. I don't want to bleed, not right now. So, no, but seriously, guys. Our world right now is crying for leaders with character. They so desperately want leaders with character. So desperately. We need that. Let's pray.